When you share your food, you share your heart. So what's on your table this holiday season? Save on your festive feast at Kroger with delicious deals on all the holiday classics. Or wow the crowd with something new, like a quinoa stuffed butternut squash. It's sure to add a pop of color to your spread. How about a sweet potato casserole with a crunchy oat streusel topping? Made with care for the sweet tooth and the savory tooth. With Kroger, fill your table with love and watch as your guests' hearts get as full as their bellies. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I want to start though by talking about dating apps, which apparently are on the way out. In the UK alone, 1.4 million people have left the online dating scene in the last 12 months. Mairead Lachman is a matchmaker and podcast host and is with me in studio. Mairead, are you surprised by this?
No, not even slightly surprised.
Oh, really?
Is that happening here too? I hear stories all day long, Kieran, of people telling me I'm exhausted from online dating. And even though I say to them, look, there's a place for it in your dating experience, they're still like, no, but that's why I came to you. They're like running towards me. You have to remember there is an overwhelming number of fake profiles on online dating. They also, the statistics last year that came out in 2023 was that 65% of profiles on Tinder are actually people in relationships. So not necessarily married, but in relationship. Now that's 65%. So you
that's
imagine,
a lot, isn't it?
It is a lot. Like you would think that online dating was a single person's game, but not necessarily. So if you are,
and are
a
they
person,
are they just having a perv or are they looking for a fling?
A mix of both. You know, it all depends. Everybody has their own situation.
Yeah, let's say that having a perv. Anyway, I did.
But look, there's also, if you were on online dating, the least of your worries would be that word. But no, I get like, look, it's different experience for everybody. But if you are a single person like that is looking to meet their long term real love, it is a minefield. It's very difficult out there. You have to remember as well, it's very superficial. So anybody that's using most of the apps, it is based on pictures. So you're swiping yes or no based on one picture. Like you could have five pictures up, but it's whatever picture comes on first. They're very often very quick to say yes or no. So it's very important if you are setting up an online dating profile that you would, I suppose, put your best foot forward. What I always say to men is if you were selling your car and done deal and wanted the best price, you know, you get it all shined up and bring it to a nice scenic place to take a photograph. So put a kind of similar effort in when you're doing your online dating profile.
People Photoshop their images, their pictures?
Yeah, there's AI now as well, and there's all sorts of everything. I, of course, as well, as a matchmaker, get everybody to send me a photograph when they're kind of applying. Yeah. And like your consideration, like say, what's your best photograph? And people's idea of their best like photograph varies very much is what I would
really
say.
Yes. So if someone will present, I would go in and I would present you a photograph and say, this is my best one. And you'd say, sir, that is nowhere near your best photograph. Well, is this one over here? Like people have kind of a blindness, do they?
That's it. So as a professional matchmaker, I meet everybody in person for their consultation. So they've sent me in a photograph beforehand. And very often people don't look like that at all. They may have completely different hair colour. I regularly get around April, May, single parents to send me a photograph of them with their son and daughter and the local bishop from their confirmation or something like that. That's not appropriate for, you know, a dating profile. So you have to think about it. What I say to people is make sure you look date ready. A lot of people that are big into fitness, they might send me a photograph at the end of like doing the Dublin Marathon and like it's probably not going to be your best picture. So just if you are doing online dating, just choose wisely and make sure you look date ready.
There was a whole host of kind of alternatives. So Tinder was kind of the OG, wasn't it?
Yes.
And then we had Bumble and all these other ones came along afterwards.
Yeah.
And some of them were meant to kind of remedy the shortcomings of Tinder,
yes,
wasn't it? That, you know, that you could maybe not send pictures of, you know,
yes,
certain parts of your body would be blocked on it, or it was more kind of within the woman's bailiwick to kind of reach out than the man.
Bumble,
all of this sort of
the
stuff.
The woman has to talk, has to send a message first and stuff like that.
And none of them seem to have kind of improved the situation, have they?
There's different reasons to be on each. The fastest one is probably Tinder because you can swipe so quickly on it. It's
okay,
the most foolproof. It's kind of where people go when they're fresh into dating. Then kind of after a while, you're like, okay, maybe I should spread the net a little bit wider. There's things like Bumble, in which case, as I said, it's the same kind of concept as Tinder, but you actually, the woman has to text first. And then there's other ones where they're like looking at more elite members of society and everything like that. I don't think they necessarily work. I actually think you should just keep to the main frames. Like if you think of it, you're out in Dublin now tonight and you're looking to meet somebody. What are you going to do? Go to the quieter bar that has a cover charge to get in? you know, or you're just going to go down to where there's going to be 100 people and you have a much better choice and more atmosphere and crack.
Well, say, I can understand maybe sometimes you're in the mood for the quieter bar, but if the quieter bar says there's a cover charge and also we're only letting people in of a certain class and a certain yes. income, I'm not going, who's going to that bar?
Exactly.
Actually, do you want, I want the people who like that bar yeah. to stay going to that
That's
bar.
It, exactly.
I don't want them anywhere near
That's
the bar I'm in.
So like people overcomplicate things, you know, I think a lot of people as well, they're turning away from dating apps because they've full burnout. If you think of even 10 years ago, so you're talking about all these dating apps, Tinder only celebrated its 10th birthday last year.
Is that all?
That's all. So there's a lot of people that are only dipping their toe back into the... Like if you've been married for the last 12 years, chances are, well, you may or may not know about Tinder. But what I'm saying is like realistically...
You might know all about it. Maybe it's why you're not married anymore.
65%, yeah, exactly. But like if you are online dating and dipping your toe back into it, like... 10, 15 years ago when you were going to a nightclub, you might get rejected once on a Saturday night. And the other thing is you had to make the effort. You had to be like, okay, I'm going to actually ask this person out. But the problem is you're just getting burnout now. You might be rejected 10 times in one night.
Well, listen, pop on those headphones because Sarah Burke is on the line. Sarah's a reporter with the Irish Independent. So Sarah, you are a former user of these platforms, is that right?
Yeah, that would be right. I deleted them probably about a year ago and I haven't looked back since, to be honest.
So why? What scared you away or chased you away from the Tinders?
I guess I just felt that I'd spend a lot of time on the apps. Sometimes I'd go on dates and I just felt like maybe that people on the apps weren't really looking for something real. I'm 23. And I suppose in that dating range, you're thinking, okay, maybe people are just trying to have a bit of fun, that kind of thing. And to be honest, I just felt it was all a bit shallow. I know that that's a bit of a typical thing to say and kind of just judging off your dating profile, but it kind of felt like nearly that you were like disposable. You know, it's like you go on one date. If you didn't just have an amazing date, it's kind of like you just kind of are thrown out. And I kind of just wanted something more genuine. And when I kind of stepped back away from dating apps, I just felt like, you know, I had more time in my life to focus on myself and do things that I really wanted to enjoy. And in that way, then when I stopped focusing on kind of the superficial things, I met people in an organic way. And yeah, it's just been a lot better. I don't feel that urge to be checking my phone for that constant validation feed. And I only was having a conversation recently with a friend of mine who said that she's given them up and she's been feeling way better since she deleted them.
So was that a thing, that there was a need for validation? Kind of, I need to make sure people have swiped. Sorry, I'm going to betray my... Is it, which way do you want them to swipe?
I swipe right.
You want them to swipe right. Yeah. So you wanted people... See that... God, this is a good way of throwing people off the scent. I'm definitely not on. Yeah. Anyway, you wanted people to swipe right, though, on a serious note, Sarah. Is that it?
Of course. Everybody wants to feel like, you know, that you're desirable or whatever, especially when you're putting yourself out there on a dating app. And you want to be matching with the type of people that you feel align with you. So maybe when you're getting matches from people that you think, okay, maybe that wouldn't be my type, you're thinking, oh, like, what way do I present myself? Would nobody want me? This kind of thing. But the reality is, like, you make genuine connections when someone actually, you know, has a conversation with you, talks to you, sees what your personality is like, not just off a picture. Mm. So, yeah, I do think that was one part of it, was like this kind of constant check in your phone, thinking, okay, has anyone texted me? No, they haven't. And it can actually really impact your self-esteem, I think. When you don't have those matches.
Yeah, I've told a story before on air, but a former colleague of ours was sitting on the bus, and it's a great story, and he could see someone using the phone in front of him. Your man was flicking along on one of these dating apps and got to this colleague of ours' picture, and he could see, he was sitting behind him and he saw your man look at it and swipe left.
Oh no!
Isn't that rough? He actually saw it happen in front of him. God. Anyway. So is there, you know, when you describe, Sarah, the kind of the people on it maybe who are looking for just something more fleeting, they're not looking for anything permanent. Like, is the issue there that they're not honest about that? That maybe they suggest they are looking for something more permanent?
Yeah, I do think that can be the case. You know, like, they can kind of present this whole thing as like, when are we going on a date? You know, they'll try to get that like organized very quickly. And in one sense, girls would think, or specifically like me and some of my friends would go, oh, that's a green flag. You know, he wants to ask you on a date quite quickly. And then like that used to be a thing where you think, oh, he wants to go on a date quite quickly. He's serious. He's interested in something more. But then when you actually show up for the date, it's kind of like, you know, you just get a sense that it's more just like, okay, well, I'm only here for one reason, if yeah. that makes sense. And that's, it's just a turn off. And then you're also thinking, like, can I trust this person? And do I feel safe here? And that's another thing, is like meeting up with a good total stranger after speaking for 4 or 5 days, like it can be very daunting. And then after you leave, like feeling rejected too, like it can have a lasting impact. So yeah, I do think there is a sense of dishonesty about it, like both female and male. They might go on a date and it looked like they're looking for something completely different, and then when they're kind of leaving, you kind of get a sense that yeah, they're probably just looking for something.
And how kind of liberating or freeing or disconcerting or nerve-wracking was it to delete those apps and just go back to the tried and trusted methods?
Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, in the beginning, I was kind of like, you know what, I'm just going to step away from it and see how I go and just focus on myself. And it was a bit like, OK, your friends are saying, OK, I'm still going on dates. And you're kind of thinking, wow, if I delete apps, am I never going to meet anybody again? Because it feels like we are kind of reliant on these apps to help us make connections, specifically romantic connections. But it was daunting at first, but then I suppose it just kind of gave me more time to do other things in my life, like, you know, go to communal areas, like go to the sauna in my local area, or, you know, go with friends for coffee and kind of look around a bit more instead of just being buried into my phone.
Yeah.
Like, while the traditional walking up to a girl in a pub is not really happening anymore, like, that's what I've noticed, is that, like, you know, when you're out with your friends, you're kind of expecting sometimes to have conversations with maybe like a group of lads if you were with your girlfriends, but it doesn't really happen anymore. And I do think that's because, like, guys and girls both are intimidated and they're thinking, oh, like, I'm going to go up here and I'm going to face rejection. But, like, I think that's actually what, like, my generation or Gen Z, whatever, are craving, is that organic way of meeting each other, is just like seeing someone, saying, hey, how's it going? Having a conversation, something stupid just to start up a conversation. And look, you can get to know each other there in the moment. And if you like each other, you do. If you don't, So what, yeah. You know?
Mike is after getting in touch to say, I gave up dating apps because it's so hard to stop the subscription. Took me 9 months to stop one dating app, even though I wasn't using it. I'm 60, but I'm getting pictures of 18-year-olds in China. Oh. What a waste of time. Mike, I'd love to know what box you ticked that they're sending you pictures of 18-year-olds in China. We better not get into that. But Mairead, you describe, say, somebody who's maybe been married for 10 or 12 years, yeah, and they're coming back on the scene and they never knew of any of these. So maybe it's easier for them if the tide goes out on the dating apps. It's more like the kind of the scene they left. But what about younger people,
yes,
who maybe had the COVID experience when they were, yeah, coming of age, so they didn't get the whole nightlife thing that we all grew up with, and then, as Sarah describes, they are buried in their phones, mm-hmm, for so much of the kind of different things in their life, work and everything else, and this is all they know.
Yeah, like,
and the idea, as Sarah describes, of kind of just going up to somebody in the pub who you don't know, cold, and trying to start a conversation, it probably melts their head.
Like, we are listening to Sarah there. She's 23 years of age, she's saying. And so it's different dating. Women and men date differently. So women are consistently looking for a life partner. They're like looking, you know, am I going to meet a nice guy? And they're consistently looking. Whereas men have a thing called the taxi light theory. And I can see this 100% when clients come to me.
What's the taxi light theory?
So men are either ready for long term or they're not ready for long term. They don't tend to be ready for long term around the age category that Sarah's probably dating in, probability wise. So if you look at the marriage rates in Ireland, or the average age of getting married in Ireland, that has dramatically increased in the last generation. Like, my parents were in their early 20s when they got married and had me, and I'm like 40 and, you know, haven't had kids yet, you know. So you're having a situation where you're in a different place in your life, in a completely different age bracket. And so men, when they come to me for matchmaking, they are 100% ready. They've either just bought a house, are in the process of building a house, they've just sold their business, they've just gotten the promotion that they've wanted, they've just qualified as a consultant doctor, they've just become, you know, a high court barrister, something that they've been working towards, and now they're automatically, right, I'm ready to meet my long-term real love. And, you know, we talk about women's biological clocks and it's ticking. Like, once men decide, and that's taxi like goes on, men are just like, right, now I need to meet someone. Like, how quickly can you have me on
dates? That's just how men approach everything.
I know, but it's not a breath of fresh air. And if, you know, if they were that consistent all along, great. But the problem is they are on these apps. And that's why, especially ladies in their 20s, are disheartened, is because there is a level of disposable, you know, they go on a date, they're not for them. And you have to remember as well, this thing called parity of choice. So the more choices you have, the less likely you are to make any decision. Now, if you're looking at Tinder and you have 1,000 women or 1,000 men, now this happens both ways. It's not just men towards women, or, you know, it is women towards men.
You're looking for perfection, probably, do you?
And you're out on a date and you're thinking to yourself, well, the girl
as if you're perfect.
Well, this is it. Everybody thinks they're great. Yeah. And I will say that. But, you know, they're out on a date and they're thinking to themselves, well, the person I was on a date with last week was taller, more successful, funnier, whatever it is. And we can't get that balance. We are looking for perfection. And very often when people come to me for matchmaking, I say to them, what are you looking for in a partner? And they're like saying they want to have a good sense of humour. They need to be really successful. They need to do all this. And I'm like, okay, are you all of these things? Are you really funny? Are you really successful and everything? And all of a sudden it's like, well, actually, you know, the reality sets in.
Maybe I'm just lucky, but I married the third date I met on Match.com, says Robert in Dean's Grange. And Catherine has a good news story as well from one of these experiences. I met someone on a dating site called Plenty of Fish back in early 2014. We'll be 10 years married, very happily married next year. But back in 2014, there was definitely people on the site who were married and looking for an affair. And it didn't matter how much you said you were looking for a proper relationship. Guys who are looking for something else still contacted you. There are sites that they can do that. I would never understand why they didn't stick with the people who just wanted fun rather than hassling someone who clearly wanted a relationship. Anyway. Delving into the male psyche there. I don't want to delve too deep, too early in the day. Listen, Catherine, thank you for the text. Sarah Burke, reporter with the Irish Independent, thank you. And Mairead Lachman, matchmaker and podcast host. Mairead, thank you very much as well.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.